Good afternoon, 4:30 and 87 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Ellen Barnett.
Every family is touched in some way by addiction, and we think that getting the word out, if it can save one life, then it's going to save, that's enough.
Boyd County Coroner Mark Hammond is serving notice that there's some bad heroin on the streets, and it has killed at least one person in Ashland.
And all of Hillman is dead following a shooting in Ashland.
And Kentucky's Agriculture Commissioner brings his hunger task force to Moorhead tomorrow.
In sports, the Cubs trade for a former Reds relief ace.
Bud Luke has the stocks.
Showers and thunderstorms tonight, lows in the 70s. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
A collision on Kentucky 519 in Rowan County has tied up traffic this afternoon and injured at least one person. EMS units have been sent to the scene south of Moorhead. One car overturned and came to rest on the pavement. Police have closed the road until the wreckage can be cleared.
A Paintsville man is dead after his motorized scooter collided with a vehicle on State Route 321 in Johnson County. Kentucky State Police identified the victim as 68-year-old Corvin Sawyer. Troopers say the mishap occurred on Saturday afternoon.
Kentucky State Police are investigating the shooting death of an Olive Hill man Sunday night. According to WSAZ, the victim is 41-year-old Robert Short. Police say he was killed about 9 o'clock at a home in the 1600 block of New Buckley Road. They're trying to determine if the shooting was in self-defense. Troopers say the shooter and the victim knew each other. An autopsy is pending and no charges have yet been filed.
The Boyd County Coroner's Office is warning of a particularly strong batch of heroin that has appeared in the area, causing a spike in overdose cases over the weekend. Mark Hammond is the Boyd County Coroner.
Between EMS and the hospital and the coroner's office, we had about 10 overdoses within about a 12-hour period. With that, one of those resulted in a death. So we knew pretty much there was a bad batch of heroin or a strong, potent batch of heroin coming through the area.
The coroner's office issued a statement on Facebook urging people to keep their friends and loved ones who are heroin abusers informed about the potentially deadly drug.
Kentucky Agriculture Commissioner Ryan Quarles brings his hunger task force to Rowan County tomorrow morning. The panel is holding hearings across the state in a search for ideas on reducing food insecurity. Tuesday's forum begins at 10:30 at the Moorhead Regional Distribution Center of God's Pantry Food Bank. That's at I-64 and Kentucky 801. Danielle Bozarth is the program director for God's Pantry.
Marion Quinn, who is our CEO, she'll do a presentation on hunger in central and eastern Kentucky, and we'll be bringing together legislators, churches, and people from the community that are interested in learning more about what's going on in Kentucky in regards to hunger.
Bozarth says a group discussion will follow that presentation.
A blood drive is scheduled for August 2nd at the Greenup County Health Department as they partner with the American Red Cross. The community blood drive couldn't come at a better time. That's according to Public Health Services Coordinator Paul Hunt. He says due to severe weather that pummeled the tri-state in recent weeks, there is a dire need for blood donation. Hunt says he expects a good turnout.
Simply because, you know, people in the tri-state, well, we got each other's backs. We tend to show up when a need is communicated. They have a really good tendency to take care of their neighbors. Blood is what keeps people alive, and without blood donations, a lot of people don't make it.
Hunt says donors must be 17 years old, weigh at least 110 pounds, and be in general good health.
The conversion of the hospital at Fort Knox to an acute care center is the focus of a town hall meeting today in Elizabethtown. Details from Ed Huckleberry.
Ireland Army Hospital at Fort Knox has served tens of thousands of soldiers and their families for decades. Now it's making a transition. Hospital spokesperson Rachel Tolliver.
It will be going to a health clinic, and they can expect to hear a little bit about the changes going from our emergency department into an acute care clinic.
The town hall meeting is set for this evening at the American Legion Hall on Ring Road. The transition is effective September 1st. I'm Ed Huckleberry.
An Eastern Kentucky lawmaker says the Blue Ridge Landfill in Estill County is not alone when it comes to potentially hazardous waste being disposed of at the site. Democrat Robin Webb is a state senator from Grayson. She says there have been problems at landfills in Boyd and Greenup counties, too. Webb says she has pushed for legislation to more carefully monitor the content of refuse being transported to Kentucky dumps, but has not been able to get a bill approved.
We don't want Kentucky to be a dumping ground for out-of-state waste. We don't want it to be a dumping ground for dangerous waste. And we want to tighten up our regulatory protocol. And I don't care if it costs money or not, because that we got to protect our people and our environment. And if the corporation there operating in the state wants to be a good corporate citizen and play by our rules, that's the price of doing business here.
Webb is a member of the Senate's Natural Resources and Environment Committee. Kentucky's Energy and Environment Cabinet has acknowledged that low-level radioactive waste from West Virginia was illegally disposed of at the Estill County landfill in January.
Estill County's judge executive thinks Kentucky will do a great disservice to its tourism business if it doesn't get a handle on potentially hazardous waste being dumped at its landfills. Wallace Taylor believes some companies may assume they can sidestep environmental regulations and unload all their refuse in the bluegrass.
Everybody wants to go to Tennessee, to Gatlinburg. They've not got nothing on central Kentucky, eastern Kentucky. But we cannot let some large corporation come in and think they can push over what some think as hillbillies.
Taylor says Estill County is suing Advanced Disposal, which owns the Blue Ridge Landfill, over out-of-state wastes that were illegally brought to the dump along State Route 89.
Rowan Judge Executive Walter Blevins and Moorhead Mayor Jim Tom Trent are exploring options for wiring the county for broadband. Blevins says he has spoken to representatives of a company interested in taking on the project.
They're willing to put up some money up, their upfront money. We're not going to have to put any money up, and they're going to basically wire this community for us, and what not just the city of Moorhead, but the whole community, pretty much all of Round County, so we can have the broadband that we can attract people. A lot of people wouldn't move to this community unless they've got good broadband.
Blevins says broadband is becoming increasingly important to economic development and job creation.
Few things are more important to Kentucky's economic future than developing a better trained labor pool and doing so more rapidly. That's according to State Representative Jim DeCesare. The Warren County Republican says there are manufacturing firms contemplating leaving the Commonwealth because they're having trouble finding skilled workers. DeCesare says that's why new dual credit and work-ready programs backed by Governor Bevin and the state legislature are so important for preparing Kentucky's next generation for employment. However, he's quick to add it's just as critical that older workers have chances to retrain and acquire new skills, too.
We want not only our young people to become more educated and get the skills they need for these high-tech, high-manufacturing jobs, but we also want to be able to retrain adults who may be working during the day to get that extra training or that certification that they need to take on some of these jobs.
DeCesare says the emphasis on advanced manufacturing training may be coming just in time for Kentucky.
The Louisville attorney who helped write Kentucky's open records law 40 years ago says it grew out of frustration with government and concerns that too much of it was being conducted in secret. John Fleischaker discussed the legislation's anniversary Sunday on KET's One-on-One with Bill Goodman.
I think there was just a growing distrust, and again, this is my generation, if you will, a growing and vocal distrust of government. And the vocal part came initially through civil rights demonstrations, but the Vietnam War, rebellion against the Vietnam War and what was going on and the secrecy, and then you had the Pentagon Papers case and the whole idea that things were happening and nobody knew about.
Fleischaker says the law wasn't really intended to help the press obtain more records, although it had that effect. The impetus, he says, was to enable individuals to access additional information from local and state government.
A $100,000 grant initiated by former Governor Steve Beshear before leaving office has caught the eye of the current administration. As Josh James reports, Governor Matt Bevin's general counsel is questioning the gift to horses and hope.
The Courier-Journal reports that General Counsel Steve Pitt contacted the Executive Branch Ethics Commission in May about the grant, which came from the State Planning Fund. The former governor has said the General Assembly gave him discretion in spending the money, which went to a charity created by his wife, Jane Beshear, in cooperation with the Kentucky Cancer Program. This is the former First Lady touting the efforts of Horses and Hope in 2014.
In the past 6 years, through Horses and Hope events, we have reached nearly 1 million racetrack and horse show fans, educated nearly 16,000 equine employees, and screened nearly 700 workers.
The Bevin administration is looking into the First Lady's role in securing the grant. The Kentucky Cancer Program never actually received the funds, according to the administration, because it did not submit required expenses to the state. The KCP said in an email last week that it found other internal sources of funding to cover the project. Pitt has said Governor Beshear left little documentation on grants made in the final days of the former administration. The former chief executive says the Bevin administration is, quote, tilting at windmills, end quote. In Lexington, I'm Josh James reporting.
Kentucky's Secretary of State has been selected as one of the speakers this week at the Democratic National Convention in Philadelphia. Allison Lundergan Grimes says the chance to play a part in her party's nomination of Hillary Clinton for president is an honor because she has been friends with the Clintons for more than two decades.
She's not a billionaire businessman just looking out for himself. She has been looking out for folks all across this nation, myself included, for quite some time. I think you will see a unified, very enthusiastic convention where folks from all over the nation are coming together.
Clinton is the only Kentuckian who will be speaking at the DNC.
The chairman of the Kentucky Republican Party sees some parallels between last year's surprising win by Matt Bevin in the contest for governor and Donald Trump's prospects in this fall's presidential election. Mack Brown spoke with CN2's Pure Politics. He says both men represent a departure from the status quo.
Matt was a great campaigner. But it wasn't because he was so loved. It's because people are scared and frustrated in Kentucky. They want an opportunity. They want jobs. They want to create a future for their children. That's exactly what needs to happen in the country.
Brown says Kentuckians are tired of having things crammed down their throats by politicians in Washington and Frankfort.
A Western Kentucky bridge damaged by a ship 4 years ago has been demolished by the state transportation cabinet. Spokesman Keith Todd says the old Egner's Ferry Bridge on Kentucky Lake was scheduled to be replaced when it was hit by the Delta Mariner.
A lot of people miss that when it was constructed back in the 1930s, it was an absolute engineering marvel. The bridge has served us well for the last 82, 3 odd years, but it's come time for the old bridge to go.
Todd says the new two-lane bridge opened in April. He says it will eventually feature four lanes. Taking a look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area tonight, mostly cloudy with a 40% chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms. Lows will be in the lower 70s, and there will be some patchy valley fog late. Look out for that fog early on Tuesday morning. Mostly cloudy for the rest of the day on Tuesday with scattered showers and thunderstorms. Highs will be in the upper 80s, and that chance of rain is at 50%. Tuesday night, there's a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms, some patchy valley fog. Lows will be in the lower 70s. Wednesday will be partly sunny with a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms, highs in the upper 80s. And Wednesday night will be mostly cloudy with a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Lows will be around 70 degrees. It is currently 82 degrees in Ashland, 86 degrees in Flemingsburg, 91 degrees in Inez, 77 degrees in Lexington, 81 degrees in Winchester, and it is 87 degrees here on the campus of Morehead State University.
445, you are tuned to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. It's good to have you with us on this Monday afternoon. On our feature segment, new pro-industrial hemp legislation is encouraging dozens of farmers across the state to participate in pilot programs testing the viability of the plant in Kentucky. The Kentucky News Connection's Greg Stottlemyre has the story.
Kentucky is experimenting with industrial hemp as dozens of farmers grow test plots covering 4,500 acres. This is the second summer that the crop has been grown on Jane Herod's small farm along the Kentucky River in Fayette County. She says the experiment is filled with regulatory and farming challenges, keeping her realistic about industrial hemp's future in Kentucky.
If we can ever get our priorities and our thought patterns redirected toward hemp and the great medicinal value that it has and nutritional value, then we would really have many different products off the farm.
While farmers in China and Europe have been growing hemp for decades and Canada legalized the crop in 1998, it last flourished in Kentucky during World War II. Its revival is now pinned on the tightly regulated pilot programs, including the 166 applications approved this year in Kentucky. Catherine Moore, who interviewed Kentucky farmers for an in-depth Yes Magazine article, agrees with Herod, saying there's a lot to be both optimistic and cautious about when it comes to industrial hemp. Moore says it has the potential for dual, even triple cropping.
So harvesting the seed in addition to the stalk for fiber or the flower for pharmaceuticals. So there is potential for these small farms to actually make money.
Moore is also quick to point out that there is, in her words, so much unknown.
Including whether the new farm bill is even going to renew this hemp pilot program, whether the plant will ever be taken off of the controlled substances list. You're in a position where you're trying to convince people of the legitimacy of the industry.
Kentucky's U.S. senators are co-sponsors of the Industrial Hemp Farming Act of 2015, which would remove the crop from the controlled substances list. Despite all the uncertainty swirling around the crop, Herod remains a staunch believer in its future, holding to her dream of one day producing CBD hemp oil for an eager market.
To grow an oil that is equally as healthy as salmon oil, fish oil, right there on my farm, and to have that oil be so healthy for the brain and the liver and the entire body, I just think that's just a miracle.
The Yes Magazine article can be found online at yesmagazine.org. I'm Greg Stottlemyre reporting for Kentucky News Connection.
4:48, you are listening to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. All Things Considered, reporting live from the Democratic National Convention in Philadelphia, is coming up at 5 o'clock this afternoon, and Tanner has sports. He's up right now.
The Cubs get a closer. Good day to you from Morehead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Tanner Boyd. The Chicago Cubs have acquired hard-throwing reliever Aroldis Chapman in a trade with the New York Yankees, giving the NL Central leaders a boost as they try for their first World Series title in more than a century. The Cubs paid a steep price, parting with top shortstop prospect Gleyber Torres as part of Monday's five-player deal. Chapman, a former Cincinnati Red, also brings along some off-the-field baggage and is eligible for free agency after this year. He's expected to join the team in time for Tuesday's game against the White Sox. Coming off a 9-8 loss against the Diamondbacks yesterday, the Cincinnati Reds head to San Francisco this evening. Jay Bruce hit a three-run homer in the ninth to pull the Reds within a run before Tyler Clippard regrouped to get the final three outs. However, manager Brian Price says winning two of the three in the series and his team's performance last night are showing the Reds' continued improvement.
And, you know, it's so rare that you have everyone in your lineup that's hitting on all cylinders. So it's when some guys cool off, you want other guys to pick them up. Joey's been on another one of those prolific runs as far as on base and hard contact and getting to his power and doing a lot of really good things. And Brandon's got a hidden streak and sitting the ball hard, hitting the ball to right field again, which is really nice. And just a lot of good things.
Game time tonight is scheduled for 10:15. Some other news from Reds alumni yesterday. Ken Griffey Jr. has been inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame. Although Griffey's plaque in Cooperstown will rightly feature him in a Mariners cap, there should also be a sense of pride for people in Cincinnati and for the Reds. He made his opening remarks at the ceremony.
And overwhelmed. The last couple months have been a blur. From the call from the hall to the calls from all the Hall of Famers that are sitting here behind me. I can't describe how that feels, but I can tell you that I was more nervous talking to them than I am now. There are a lot of people out here who made me the person I am today.
Griffey slugged 210 of his 630 career home runs in 9 seasons with Cincinnati. He also hit career homer 500 as a member of the Reds on Father's Day in 2004 at St. Louis, with Father Ken Griffey Sr. in the seats. In NFL news, the NFL says it found no credible evidence that Peyton Manning was provided with HGH or other prohibited substances, as alleged in a documentary by Al Jazeera America last fall. The league said the quarterback and his wife fully cooperated in the 7-month investigation, providing interviews and access to all records sought by investigators. Manning vehemently denied the allegations when they were made late in the season. Manning retired from the NFL a month after Denver's 24-10 win over Carolina in Super Bowl 50. Authorities say a van was turning left at a highway intersection in northwestern Arizona when it collided with a bus carrying staffers of the Dallas Cowboy football team, killing all people in the van. The Arizona Department of Public Safety say the van was traveling south the main route between Las Vegas and Phoenix, and the bus was heading north Sunday. No players were on the bus. Members of the media toured the University of Kentucky's new football training center today. Josh James has this snapshot of the $45 million facility.
Workers may still be adding a few final touches before practice starts in August, but the wow factor is already in place. From hallways tracing the football program's history by way of massive interactive screens, to an arena-like weight room, to a sports medicine department complete with underwater treadmill, x-ray machine, and hot and cold tubs, the building has a decidedly self-contained feel.
So, obviously, there's a lot of space dedicated to the strength and conditioning piece.
Executive Associate Athletic Director Mark Hill says that's by design.
The two biggest things this place has the other place didn't is the dining room and the academic piece. All the other components we kind of had in place, we've just enhanced them and beefed them up. But those two pieces are going to allow the kids not to have to leave. You know, it makes it a one-stop shop, except for when they go to class, obviously.
And say a player coming from class forgets his ID card, no worries. A retina scanner will give him access to the facility. Needless to say, athletic staff say the center is, if you'll forgive the word, a game changer. In Lexington, I'm Josh James reporting.
Ohio State quarterback JT Barrett and Iowa cornerback Desmond King highlight the preseason All-Big Ten selections. Barrett was selected to the East team along with Michigan defensive back Jabril Peppers, Michigan State defensive lineman Malik McDowell, Ohio State linebacker Raquan McMillan, and Penn State running back Saquon Barkley by a media panel. Iowa quarterback C.J. Beathard and defensive back Desmond King, Northwestern running back Justin Jackson and linebacker Anthony Walker, and Wisconsin running back Corey Clement were West picks. Kyle Busch won the Brickyard 400 on Sunday to make it a clean sweep at Indianapolis. He led a race record of 149 of the 170 laps and beat Joe Gibbs, racing teammate Matt Kenseth, to the finish line by 2.12 seconds. Busch says he had great success on the restarts that led to his win.
Just glad that everything worked out for us, and we were able to carry good speed down a straightaway and getting into turn one. I was always kind of nosed ahead where I felt like I could run the groove and the speed that I needed to run and focus on being able to hit my marks in turn two and just kind of set sail.
Busch became the first NASCAR driver to sweep the Xfinity Series and Cup Bowls and races on the same weekend. And finally, this afternoon, rejecting calls by anti-doping officials for a complete ban on Russia, Olympic leaders on Sunday gave individual sports federations the task of deciding which athletes should be cleared to compete in next month's Rio de Janeiro Games. Citing the need to protect the rights of individual athletes, International Olympic Committee Chairman Thomas Bach says the Russian athletes who have a chance to compete in Rio must have a clean record regarding doping.
Every human being is entitled to individual justice. There we have set the bar to the absolute limit for how Russian athletes can achieve to compete in Rio.
The IOC is leaving it to 27 international sports federations to make the call on a case-by-case basis. And that's Chick of Sports for MSPR. I'm Tanner Boyd.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Morehead State football season tickets are now available with 6 home games on the schedule, including Campbell, Marist, Jacksonville, and the Virginia Military Institute at 6 p.m. on Saturday, September 10th. Tickets from the Morehead State Athletic Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. stocks closed lower in light volume, with energy stocks lagging in particular, as oil prices briefly hit their lowest in nearly 3 months. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a loss of 77.79 at 18,493.06. The S&P 500 was down 6.55 at 2168.48, and the NASDAQ Composite was down 2.53 at 5097.63. New York Stock Exchange breadth was almost 2-1 in favor of losing stocks over winners. U.S. crude oil futures settled at $43.13 a barrel, down $1.06 or almost 2.5%, weighed by concerns about oversupply. Earlier, WTI briefly fell below $43 a barrel to hit its lowest since late April. The energy sector itself was down nearly 2% as the greatest declining S&P 500 sector in today's trading. Consumer discretionary was the only positive S&P sector, helped by gains in retail stocks. The Spider S&P Retail ETF closed about 1% higher, with Outerwall gaining more than 11% and Nordstrom rising 4.6%. And Redbox owner Outerwall announced it would be bought for $1.6 billion by funds managed by Apollo Global Management. Apple had the greatest negative impact on the NASDAQ 100 as shares closed more than 1% lower for a third straight day of declines. BGC downgraded the stock to sell from hold and also cut its price target based on expectations that fewer than forecast customers will upgrade to the next iPhone. In corporate news, Verizon announced that it plans to acquire Yahoo's internet operations for $4.8 billion in cash. And in the gold markets, gold futures for August delivery settled down $3.90 an ounce at $1,319.50 an ounce. Among Dow industrial stocks, your best performers were Nike and DuPont, which were both up 0.7%, and your Dow losers were Chevron, which was down 2.5%, and Exxon, which was down 1.9%. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Micron Technology, which was up 6%, and Nordstrom, which was up 4.6%. And your worst performers in the S&P 500 were Roper Technologies, down 5.8%, and Chesapeake Energy, down 4.6%. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Incorporated down $1.09 at $121.30, AK Steel down $0.10 at $5.41, CSX down $0.11 at $28.37, Marathon Petroleum down $0.92 at $36.90, AEP down $0.29 at $69.77, and Community Trust Bank was down $0.43 to finish at $34.73. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Taking one last look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area tonight. Mostly cloudy skies with a 40% chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms. Some patchy valley fog late. Lows will be in the lower 70s. Look out for that fog early on Tuesday morning. Mostly cloudy skies for the rest of the day with scattered showers and thunderstorms. Chance of rain 50%. Highs will be in the upper 80s. Tuesday night will be mostly cloudy with a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Some patchy valley fog near dawn. Lows will be in the lower 70s. For Wednesday, it'll be partly sunny with a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Highs in the upper 80s. And Wednesday night will be mostly cloudy with a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Lows around 70. Taking a look at temperatures around the region, it's 82 degrees in Ashland, 86 in Flemingsburg, 77 in Lexington, 81 in Winchester, and 87 degrees here in Morehead.
And that's it for us on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Tanner Boyd, Samantha Morrill, Courtney Howell, and Jacob Lindberg. From WUKY, Josh James. From the Kentucky News Connection, Greg Stottlemyre. And from the Kentucky News Network, Ed Huckleberry. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202BHINES. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Ellen Barnett and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte, Morehead State Public Radio News. ATC is next. It's 5 o'clock.